Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, we're done. We're out of time. Luke Morrow, Chris Partee, Colin Neal, they are in the loop. It's a Football Friday, and by God, they start now.
Appreciate it. You can always join the conversation throughout the show as well. 713-572-4610 on the text line or call in. It is a Football Friday. We get ready for this game on Sunday, playoffs as well. And Chris, I mean, we just got out of here a few hours ago. We were here last night. Quick sleep, back here today to do it all over again. How you feeling this morning?
I feel like I should have just slept on the pool table in the rec room there, because I got about four and a half hours of sleep.
I've done that before. Yeah, I've
you slept not on the pool table. Okay.
No, I've on a couch. I've thought about the pool table just because my back sometimes. But sometimes when I'm up here doing the post game show for a primetime game, and it ends at 1:30, and I'm on the air at 6 a.m. Underrated, this place to sleep. You get a good night's sleep in this place.
I might have to implement that into my strategy the next time we have to do something like this.
I was thinking about that driving in today. It's like, man, it felt like we just left here. But then I remembered it was almost like growing up complaining, like, oh, I have to go to school. And my father's like, yeah, I have to work for 8 hours.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, doing a Sunday night Texans game and then getting back here for the morning show the next day, I can only imagine, or staying here for the morning.
That's got to be brutal.
Yeah. So we have
people with actual jobs right now. Like, y'all suck. All three
of course they are.
All
three
of you suck.
That's also
right?
true. Like, you work 4 hours a day. Come on.
Yeah. That's also true. So we can't complain. Hey, we're happy to be here filling in for the guys on In the Loop with you for the next few hours with plenty to get to. Let's talk about this game on Sunday. We've been doing it all week, and it is a Football Friday as we get ready for the Texans and the Titans to wrap up the regular season on Sunday. And Chris, as we get geared up for the playoffs, right, this is the last opportunity to try to get things in check before the postseason. So simply, just what do you need to see? What do you want to see from the Texans on Sunday to erase the last couple weeks and to be able to head into that playoff game with some good vibes for this team?
Personally, I'm with Sean. I want to see a win. Honestly, I don't want to go. I don't think you should want to go into the playoffs having lost three of your last three games in a row. I just don't think that's the right mojo to go into the playoffs. Even if you're going to play the Steelers, who you think you can probably beat, you know what I mean? Because we talked about it last night, and we kind of ranked the teams. Steelers one of who you want to play, then the Chargers. You don't want to see the Ravens again here anytime soon. We don't want any of that mojo.
Don't
right
want to think about it.
We don't want to think about the Ravens. So no, I really want to see again Deontay Johnson. I want to see what is going to look like Deontay Johnson, C.J. Stroud, what that connection is going to be. Even if the starters only play a half, I still want to see what that looks like. I want to see as much Deontay Johnson as possible.
So victory and Deontay Johnson getting some run.
Yeah.
Those are the big things. That if those happen on Sunday,
I'm good.
Feeling a little bit better.
Feeling better, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about for the Texans? You know, it's interesting. I saw these odds. I was actually surprised. These Super Bowl odds that were put out yesterday in terms of which teams have the best chance to win out of the AFC. Obviously, the Chiefs are going to be number one. They have better than a 20% chance of winning the Super Bowl for the third straight year. Bills are second, 15%. Ravens are third at 12%. Then you get to the Steelers, 2%. Then you get to the Chargers, 2%. Then, finally, you get to the Texans at 1.9%, only ahead of Denver with a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. I have to admit, I'm a little surprised by that. And, you know, I think I've been, I think we've all, everyone, Texans fans, media members, have all been very negative of late, and rightfully so. This team hasn't been playing well. But I think there's still a chance with the talent on this roster and what we've seen at times over the last 2 years to say that they only have a 1% chance, less than the Steelers and the Chargers who might come to their building. I was a little bit surprised. My question being, what do you think needs to happen Sunday into the postseason for the Texans to actually be able to go on some sort of run, to have some sort of playoff success? What do they need to do? What do you need to see from this team? Like, what's that missing piece that, hey, maybe the Texans can actually surprise some people in the postseason?
Bobby Slog make the adjustments that we've all talked about on this station for the past, what, 2 months? And get the offense back on track. Get the offense back on track. I mean, that's the big thing. You know, you expect the defense to show up, right? That's what we expect from the Texans, but the offense just has not been there as of late. So for me, that's what I need to see. I need to see this offense get back on track. But, you know, in saying that, if Bobby Slog hasn't made those adjustments at this point, I'm not real confident that we're actually going to see him make those adjustments with 1 week left in the regular season and then going into that wild card game. I just don't see it's going
to
happen.
I'm with you, which is why I'm totally out. Like, this game on Sunday means nothing to me. We've debated this on multiple shows now over the past 2 weeks, but that's why I wouldn't even bother playing CJ Stroud. This game means nothing. And I know the idea of, like, hey, this is our last dress rehearsal. Let's get this offense clicking before the play. Well, you just had 17 weeks to do it. You think you're going to solve 4 months of problems in 1 week against a lousy football team anyways? And what I said earlier in this week, too, with Sean Bajani, was it's kind of a lose-lose as well for Sunday. And I compared it to if anybody was ever on like their high school wrestling team and you went up against a school that had a girl on their high school wrestling team, and you had to wrestle that girl.
Yeah.
It's like a lose lose. Because if you beat her, it's like,
a girl.
Yeah, you just beat a girl. Like, what are you doing?
But
and if you lose, you're never going to hear the end of it. And so for the Texans, like, if the offense plays well on Sunday, it's like, yeah, but it's the Titans. They're the worst team in the league. They're trying to get the number one pick. But if the offense actually looks good, or I should say looks bad, then it's like, oh my gosh, we're doomed. This offense, you can't even get it together against the worst team in the league, the Titans, after they had success earlier this year against the Patriots. I almost feel like it's a lose-lose for the Texans from that perspective, that even if they do some good things on Sunday, you can excuse it away with, yeah, it's just the Titans. Do we really think they can do that in the playoffs?
So in that lose-lose situation, then what do you do? I mean, we talked about this last night and before, you know, and even last week. I'm not on board with CJ not playing at all. Now, if he only plays the first half, I'm fine with that. But one of the biggest reasons for me is I want to see him and Deontay Johnson get some live reps in. I want to see them get live reps in a game before the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want their first time on the field in live action to be wild card weekend. I don't think that's a good look. I just don't.
That's fair.
They're not going to build the most chemistry over 2 weeks. I get that. But you want to at least have something to go off of. You know what I mean? Again, practice, I understand that's great, but I want to see it in live action.
And that's the one thing I would look for. Now, again, I'm on record. I wouldn't play Stroud at all. Play all the other guys on Sunday, wouldn't play Stroud. Not with that offensive line against this defensive front. Not with, apparently, there's like precipitation in the forecast. So now you're talking about it might be a rainy field out there in Nashville. Not worth the juice is not worth the squeeze to get this pointless victory and jeopardize the future of this franchise. Not only the postseason, but who knows? You tear an ACL, God forbid, you're out for next year as well. So that's not worth it. But to me, the biggest thing, if Stroud is out there, is that connection with Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
Because you have to see something. You know, it's a shame that in defense of Bobby Slowick, let me defend him for just a moment.
Oh, now you're going to defend him, huh?
And then we'll get back to trashing him for the next 4 hours. Okay. No, but the one defense is that you haven't had the full core of this offense very much this year like you had planned and hoped in terms of having Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell all out there consistently. And now you're down Diggs, you're down Tank Dell, and you just have Nico Collins. So if Deontay Johnson can show something, it's like, okay, here's another playmaker that can try to revitalize this offense in the postseason. So I'm with you. That's the one thing. I wouldn't play Stroud at all, but if he's going to be out there, and all indications are he's going to be out there for a little bit,
yeah,
I'm going to force it to Johnson. I'm going to play Johnson. I don't care if he doesn't know the playbook. Get out there. Play as much as you can. Let's try to get the ball in your hands and see if we could create another playmaker here late in the year.
I think you just have to hope that at this point, Deontay Johnson is motivated to, I guess, redeem himself in the eyes of, you know, the NFL
right,
and the eyes of, you know, everyone. He may not feel personally like he needs to redeem himself. I don't know how he feels about that, the way things ended with Baltimore. But if you tell the team you don't want to go into a game, most people are going to say, well, you kind of need to redeem that. So if he's motivated, I think we'll see something from him Sunday. And I think we'll see something with. But that's again, that's why I want to see where that connection is. I want to, that's why I want to see that. Obviously, he's not the number one guy. That's Nico. So he's not, you know, he's not going to see the double teams. You know, he should be able to show us a little bit of something on Sunday.
Yeah, it's good to have a motivated guy. His stock has really fallen.
It's low.
Yeah. And he has a chance here to prove himself. Not only, I mean, I don't know how much of an opportunity he's truly going to get to prove himself on Sunday, but then a playoff matchup potentially against his former team, by the way, the Steelers, who just traded him away. He might be facing the Steelers here in Houston next week in a playoff game with a chance to end their season, you know, with some sort of chip on his shoulder. Like, hey, I'll show you. You got rid of me, I'll show you.
That should be motivation in itself.
Right, for sure.
And he's probably hoping, just like we are, hoping that it's the Steelers that come to Houston.
Yeah, right.
I think we're probably all on the same page with that.
Everybody should be. The coaching staff as well. I think the Steelers give you the best chance to get a playoff victory.
That's what I'm thinking.
This year. My whole thing, I wouldn't play Stroud, though, on Sunday because, you know, it's almost like the person who does not take care of their body for 30 years and then they turn 50 and they have like all these ailments. Like, okay, you know what? Starting today, I'm going to start eating better. It's like, well, you already kind of did the damage. It's too hard to reverse all that.
It's very hard to reverse all that.
It's hard to change 17 weeks, what we've seen. Not quite 17 weeks, but you get the idea. Yeah. 2 months from this offense and fix it in one game, final game of the season against the lowly Titans and then be like, okay, problem solved, just like that. Because if it was that easy, if that's the case, I would ask, okay, how come that hasn't happened yet? When we've had a lot longer time throughout the season to sort things out.
I just feel like CJ, the offense in general, hasn't played great lately.
No.
Especially the past month. So I would hate to have a week off and then have to pick back up in the playoff game having not played well in weeks. And then on top of that, possibly having lost your last three games coming into the home playoff game.
Yeah.
I'm a believer. A lot of people don't believe in momentum in sports. I do. I think momentum is a thing. I think we see it every week in games, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, especially those two sports. I think momentum shifts. I think they happen. I think it's a big deal. So there's not a lot of great momentum for the Texans right now. I think you kind of want to get a little bit of something going. Now, again, if they're playing great in the first half, the starters in Coach Ryan's decides to sit guys after halftime and the Titans come back and win. Okay. But if they played well in the first half, as far as your starters, the guys that you know are going to play the majority of that playoff game, I'm fine with that. But I got to see something in that first half.
Well, to that point, here was offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick at his press conference yesterday talking about how CJ Stroud's struggles could potentially get fixed this late in the season.
Yeah, again, it's multifaceted. You know, like we know we got to have solid, sound, firm protection. That's been our big emphasis and will continue to be our big emphasis, was our big emphasis out at practice today, that making sure the pocket and our protection is sound. And in particular, like there should, unless someone all out blitzes us, there should not be free runners. And we should be able to pick up what people are bringing and feel good about hanging in there. But then the flip side is in the NFL, part of the battle these days is there are good pass rushers everywhere, every game, and the pocket is chaos. And I know we talked about this last year a lot. Like one of the biggest adjustments CJ had to make in the NFL was handling the chaos of the pocket. And it's been too chaotic this year, without a doubt. But along the same lines, there's also times all of us would look, okay, what can I do to handle this better and help him better? Where the ball's just out faster. What concept did I call? I'm sure he's looking at it. Could I have micro movement right here to make sure that even though we have an issue, I slide to this one spot. Now we're sound again, and I can still deliver the ball. So it's not just up front. That's the nature of the NFL. But we always look at it from everybody's involved.
Which is another reason why I wouldn't even bother playing Stroud. You talk about that chaos in the pocket. Well, now you're shuffling the offensive line again. You're going up against a good defensive line, potentially on a wet field on Sunday. God forbid something bad happens. It's like, well, what was the point? Why do we risk this with our franchise quarterback? But even more so than that, even if you take out all of those factors, on the text line, you can always join the conversation, 713-572-4610. From the 346, they say, sit Nico, let Johnson and Stroud have the show, let Mixon get his bonus. and then pull him as soon as that happens. Joe Mixon needs 107 yards to make a quarter mil on Sunday.
Let that man get his bonus, please.
Yeah, and if he gets close and doesn't get there, just pay him anyways. But for me, I'm not playing Stroud anyways because, you know, I would ask, what would be more valuable? Another week to try to figure things out Sunday against the Titans or that extended break? And I've talked about this before, but to me, when I watch CJ Stroud this year, I think it's more mental than anything. And I think Slowick kind of alluded to it there in that clip. And so it's not like he's coming back from an injury where he needs more reps. And I look at other young quarterbacks getting time off and coming back and playing better, like Bryce Young this year, Sam Darnold after sitting out all of last year, Will Levis even for a bit, Anthony Richardson for a bit this year, they got a bit of a boost. And so if Stroud doesn't play on Sunday, it'll be 17 to 18 days between the last time he's played and that playoff game. And I think that just that mental break. We talked about this last time. I wouldn't even put him in pads on Sunday. I'd have him on the sideline.
You got
him
in street clothes.
Yeah, and be like, don't even worry about today. Clear your mind. Let's get ready for the playoffs, and let's sort this thing out. And I could argue that playing him on Sunday might do more harm than good, not even in terms of injury risk, but just in terms of, like I said, if the offense doesn't play well again, you're just compounding. You're just adding on these bad memories and bad performances, and now it's like, we're limping into the play. We didn't play well against the Titans. Now we got a playoff game. I think it's better to just take that week off, reset mentally, get ready for the postseason.
So you want CJ in street clothes like Anthony Davis, huh?
That's right. Like, yeah, call him street clothes. Fine with me.
Street clothes Stroud.
Yeah.
Hey, it has
alliteration.
It has a ring to it, but No. I'm not with that. Like you said, you know, it could be mental. It's not like there's a serious injury that we know of, you know, that he's dealing with that you could point to his, I guess, lack of production recently. But a couple of those guys you mentioned, you know, they got breaks there and then came back and played well. You know, you mentioned Sam Darnold. You mentioned Bryce Young. I think the expectation is different, though. You know, Bryce Young had already, obviously, number one pick a couple years ago. He'd already been in, but he'd been taken out. So I think the expectation for him coming back wasn't as great. You know what I mean? In that moment. And with Sam Darnold, I don't think there was any expectation for him coming off of, what, four or five bad years in the league and then going to Minnesota. He wasn't even going to be the starter.
No.
It was going to be, was it McCarthy?
Yeah.
Right? So McCarthy gets hurt. He gets a shot. And now he's performed. But now going into next year, for Sam Darnold, there will be expectation. So, again, I talked about it last night. I need to see more than 1 year out of a guy. You know what I mean? So, before I just anoint them. But getting back to CJ, yeah, it could be mental. But here's the thing. I just think, you know, when you sit a young guy, or really any guy, but especially a young player, 2 years in the league, when you have that much time to sit and just think about what you haven't been able to do, I don't think that's great. I just don't. I think you can get even more in your head that way. Sometimes a break works, but I just think in this situation, I would like to see him give us a half. Give us a half, dial it up, and, you know. And you can put it to where, you know, one half no matter what. Even if we're, you know, losing, whatever it is, we're winning, we're blowing them out, one half, that's it. He's done at halftime. That's fine. But I need to see something. I want to see a little bit of something. I don't want, you know, going into the wild card round, I don't want it to be where he hasn't played in a couple weeks now.
Let me use this analogy for the third time before we hit the break. Because I think the further you get away from something,
man,
the better you can feel.
Science test, huh?
That's right. Going back to the science test. If I failed the science test last week and I got another science test this week, I'm not feeling too good about it. But if I failed the science test a month ago and now the next test is coming up weeks later, over those weeks, I could convince myself this time it's going to be different.
But did that actually work?
Probably not, but at least mentally I felt better. I felt more confident
in theory
going into that test than if it was like, oh, man, I just failed a test 2 days ago. No way am I going to pass this one. And I heard Bajani, when we worked together the other day, said, you know what? Now with some days gone by, he doesn't feel so bad about those brutal losses around the holidays. Time heals all wounds. Give him some extra time. You move on. You start convincing yourself, hey, it's going to be different this time.
All right.
On YouTube, Nicholas says, put in Uncle Rico. Fine with me. Let's do it. Let's see what he can do. And on the text line, you could always join the conversation, 713-572-4610. We already got it trending. Hashtag Street Clothes Stroud.
All right. That was fast.
Yeah.
They are good.
I started a movement.
That's right. Good on you. And we're off and rolling today here on In the Loop. Coming up, when we come back, how should we truly judge? I know we still have a game left in the regular season. We still have the playoffs. But how should we truly judge this season for the Texans? We'll talk about it next. It's In the Loop.
Whether you want to,
buy, buy, buy,
in a bear market, or
sell, sell, sell,
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Fellas are out today. We're here instead. Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee, Colin Neal holding things down as well. And you can always join the conversation, 713-572-4610. Coming up in just a moment, how should we truly judge this season for the Texans? With one game left in the regular season, of course, the playoffs as well. But catching up on some of the engagement on the text line and on the video streams, my man Guy Jean says, the fellas right back at it from last night. Props. That's right. We were here till midnight last night, back here today. Although, as we were saying in the open, I mean, we really shouldn't come. We're happy to do it.
We're not complaining.
No, we're not complaining. And it's not like this is our flu game either. Right?
But next time I will be spending the night and sleeping on the pool table.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
There you go. Yeah. And then in between breaks, you might have to get the back roller out or something.
Right? It's all right.
After doing that.
It's all right.
From the 281, they said, bro, why you sound like Figgy Fig's little brother? I guess you're talking about you. I don't know. Enjoying the show. It's not a bad thing.
It's all right. I'll take that.
Absolutely.
I'll take it.
Hey, Figgy Fig, legend. We'll get that. Actually will lead to our question of the day coming up in a little bit. We'll get to that. We got hashtag street clothes Stroud going on the text line because I'm of the school of thought. Put him in street clothes on Sunday. Don't even bother having him suit up and worry about playing. Somebody from the 361 said, I had a dream. I had a pep talk with Stroud, and then he balled out. So maybe that's all that's needed.
Well, let's hope that's what happens.
Let's get that listener in that locker room on Sunday to fix all the problems.
Foreshadowing.
Absolutely. Let's see. Looking at some of these others. 713 said, starters need to play 2 to 3 quarters on Sunday.
Thank you.
346 says, just get Stroud and Johnson's vibe right and then pull them after the first quarter. That's fair.
I'd be all right with that.
That's the only thing that they
but
got,
let us
have to
see something.
Done.
Please. Yeah. Let us see something.
It's like, I don't know if this is a good reference to make. It's like Boy Meets World in the 90s. Grew up on that. Love that show. Don't text me about it. But they're together. Corey and Topanga are together for years.
Yeah.
And Topanga, a little bit of a prude, doesn't let Corey do anything. And that's what that's his line when they're in college and they get married in college, they're living together. That's what he says. Like, let me touch something. Same idea. You know? Same idea. Just let us see something on Sunday, please. For the love of God. Been in this relationship for years. And then from the 281, which leads into this next conversation, I asked, how should we truly judge this season for the Texans? And the 281 said earlier, we just have to accept that the Texans are the laughingstock of the NFL. They'll never get to the Super Bowl. Let's move forward. CJ's not the franchise quarterback. Texans need another quarterback. I get you're down in the dumps.
I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't go that far either.
That's
which is why I'm asking this question, because we've been so down in the dumps with this team. How should we truly judge this season for the Texans? Because if you were to go back in time when D'Amico Ryans was hired and CJ Stroud was then drafted and you said, hey, year one, 10 wins, win the division, go to the playoffs. Year two, if they win on Sunday, 10 wins, win the division, go to the playoffs. I think every Texans fan would sign the dotted line immediately.
Yeah.
You would absolutely love them. Now, expectations, of course, change. This is my rule. Don't ever bring flowers to the first date. Because once you do what are you going to do on the second date? What are you going to do on the third date? You change her expectations. Same thing with that. We just had the holidays. Don't do the airport pickup whenever the friends or relatives come to town, especially in Houston, because now anytime they come to visit you, you got to make that pickup. Even if it's at 5 o'clock and it's going to take you 2 hours, you got to go pick them up at the airport.
You're not picking them up at the airport? You're not
no,
picking
I
up
do.
Your...
I do. I'm a like... sucker. I always pick him up at the airport.
I was going to say, Luke, man, you cold-blooded.
But I'm like, you better fly in at 9 o'clock. I'm not sitting in that traffic. So my point being, when you have the great season they did last year, catching everybody by surprise, it changes expectations this year. But is that reasonable? And I get the offseason they had. And I get the expectations, but that's my point. I think the expectations set up the Texans for failure this year. I'll tell you this. My last point for now. The Texans' increase of Super Bowl odds from last year to this year, preseason Super Bowl odds, was the third largest increase in NFL history. NFL history is also the largest increase from 1 year to the next since the Cowboys 35 years ago. So nobody has gone through a bigger jump in one offseason in expectations than the Texans in 3.5 decades. My problem is maybe with those expectations, because on the surface, I think a division title, 10-win season in year two, actually pretty good. I know the offense hasn't looked great, but on the surface, 10 wins, not bad.
I mean, 10 wins is not bad at all, but I mean, it just seems like, how soon do we forget? Look at we talked about it last night. Look at this team a couple years ago, and you just alluded to it. If you would have told people, okay, first 2 years of CJ and D'Amico Ryans as a tandem head coach, quarterback, win the division, 10 wins. And then, again, you win the division, second year in a row. We already got that, and you might win 10 wins again. You might have 10 wins again. I think anybody would have signed up for that. Now, based on how it's looked this year, it hasn't looked the same. It hasn't been exactly the same, but last year there was no expectation for it. And we've talked about this on other shows. Once expectation kind of creeps in, it's different. That's why I'm a proponent of, holding off on anointing people like, what was that, Teddy Bruschi? that was already...
We played that last night.
We played last night, that he's already putting Jaden Daniels past C.J. Stroud.
Right.
And he even went as far as to say, I never thought C.J. Stroud was all that anyway. To paraphrase what he was saying. So he went that far. I think you gotta give guys a couple years to really get in and to see what they can do. That's just me. I'm not about anointing someone, after just 1 year. But back to the season. How would I? Are we rating the season? Like, what do you mean? Like, are we rating it, or
how would you judge this season? Has this been a huge disappointment? Has it been?
No, I can't call it a huge disappointment. You might win 10 games again. You're probably gonna you're gonna be in the playoffs for sure, and you might win another playoff game.
Right.
So in a couple weeks, we could be looking up and saying, well, in his first 2 years, C.J. Stroud has 2 playoff wins. If you go up north a little bit, I think Dak Prescott has 2 in his career. Playoff
Sounds
wins.
Sounds right.
I think he's like 2-5.
Yeah.
Not to say that you want to compare to them, but I'm just saying he's been in the league for 8 years. C.J.'s been in the league 2 years and could have 2 playoff wins already. I don't think it's that bad. I get it. Everybody's down on Bobby Slowick. I understand that. We'll see what happens in the offseason, if he'll be back, if he won't. We can debate that all day. But I think just looking at this season in a vacuum, it was a good season. It may not have been to the level people expected coming off of last season. I get that. But back-to-back, potential double-digit win seasons, two division titles back-to-back, you might win 2 back-to-back playoff games. Hey, I'm not mad at that.
It's not bad.
Can't be mad at that.
Look, the only teams in the AFC to win double-digit games in the last 2 seasons, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Texans. All right, those are the elite. Chiefs, Bills, Ravens have been the elite of the conference for the last couple years.
You expect those teams to do that.
You do.
At this point.
And the Texans, to their credit, first-time head coach, second-year quarterback now.
Yeah.
He's won. If they win Sunday, I know I'm getting ahead of myself here. But if they win Sunday, you'd have, in Stroud's first 2 seasons, like you said, back-to-back 10-win seasons and potentially even a playoff victory back-to-back years. As well, we'll see what they do next week. And look, the offseason was a big offseason. You go all in, and I get why the expectations increased. I thought maybe they increased a little too much. But if you go back and you look through the history of the NFL, there had only been one other team in NFL history before the Texans to acquire a 100-reception player and a 10-sack defender from the previous season in that offseason. Of course, for the Texans, it was Stephon Diggs, and it was Danielle Hunter on defense. The only other team to ever do that in NFL history was the Raiders in 2022 when they got Devontae Adams and they got Chandler Jones. And I know it's the Raiders, but you know what? The year before, in 2021, they made it to the playoffs. Then they add those 2 pieces. In 2022, they went 6-11. So
it didn't work out.
just by winning the offseason doesn't mean you win the regular season. In fact, a lot of times when you add in these moving parts, it can make things a little challenging to add new pieces to the equation. And you add Diggs, who, by the way, has hardly played this year, obviously, because of injury. Dana Hunter's played well. They had a big offseason, but my whole thing is, look, expectation. Life is all about expectations. Some of the best movies I have enjoyed in my life were the ones I thought were going to be terrible because my expectations were low. Some of my least favorite movies were the ones I was most looking forward to, and then I thought, didn't live up to my expectations. But if you said 2 years ago, hey, in year two, Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, they're going to win 10 games, they're going to win the division, they're going to host a playoff game, they might even win that game, sounds pretty good. I'd also say this. Who would you say is the much better team this year, the Texans or the Packers?
Ooh. Dang. Luke dropping some hard questions this morning.
Right? Because I think the Packers have disappointed a little bit, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just, coming off of that run they had last year, I think their expectations were pretty high as well. That's tough. Colin? Like, that's tough. Like, yeah, I'm going to pass it to you. tough.
Here's the thing. Yeah, you talk about the offseason. It's still the old line. Which old line is better? Packers old line or Texans old line?
Packers.
That's kind of where it.
A little bit, yeah.
That's where it separates both teams by a wide margin to me because, I mean, Packers have a good quarterback in Jordan Love. I mean, yeah, do they need to grab some consistency down the line? Yes, they have to. They've been inconsistent. But at the end of the day, one thing that separates both teams is the old line. And, I mean, I would put C.J. Stroud over Jordan Love, but when Love's getting a bit more time behind a better line, I'd rather take the Packers over the Texans now.
Yeah, I'd say Stroud doesn't make as many mistakes, probably, you know, just overall as, I mean, I guess in turnovers, I should say, as Jordan Love. But Jordan Love is a risk taker. Like, he's going down the field, I would say, a lot more.
Well, here's my point. On the text line, 346 says the Packers are better. They're just in a tough division.
Well, that too.
Yeah, but that's my point in that the Packers have the better odds to go and actually win in the playoffs this year. I think most people, even just getting away from Texans fans, average football fans have said, hey, who's the better team, Packers, Texans? I mean, I think most people would say the Packers. And look, they do have two more wins. They do have the better rated offense. But the Packers this year are 8-0 against losing teams. They're 3-5 against winning teams. Yeah. They were down 28-0 to the Vikings at home. They were just down 27-10 to the Vikings. They were down 24-3 at home to the Lions. They lost to the Eagles as well. Every good team they've played, they've lost. Kind of like the Texans. And so my point being, like, it's almost like this, you know, where we have a certain standard for the Texans, but not that you would look at the Packers and be like, oh, 11-win team? Like, that's a really good team. But then you zero in, you're like, well, they haven't really beaten anyone. All the good teams they play, they've gotten blown out. Not only lost, blown out. They've gone 8-0 against the bad teams. Their only division wins are against the Bears. So how good are the Packers truly? And I look at it the same way with the Texans, where, the Texans haven't beaten a lot of good teams. They only beat the Bills. But they, too, might have 10 wins. And I just think the conversation around these two teams is off, where the general conversation throughout the country is like, hey, Packers, Jordan Love, they beat the Cowboys in the playoffs last year. This team, everyone's picking them to beat the Vikings last week. They got boat race for three quarters.
Yeah, they did.
The Texans, the conversation is, oh, the Texans, this team, what a joke. They might win 10 wins, might win 10 games and potentially a playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a lot of gloom and doom. You know what I mean? And especially when you're this close in the city to the team and you had these expectations that got ramped up after last season, people just expected a lot more. And we haven't seen that. But it's not the end of the world, in my opinion.
Text line said Packers are 12-4. They're 11-5. He said, what are you talking about? They're having a good season. That's my point. Everyone's saying Packers are having a good season.
Yeah.
Who have they beaten? 8-0 against losing teams. They've been blown out against the five best teams they've played on their schedule this year. But the conversation around the Packers, much different than the conversation around the Texans. That's all I'm saying. That's my defense of the Texans. We'll get back to being negative. Hey, coming up, who have you been told you look like? Let us know. 713-572-4610 on the text line. It's the question of the day. We'll get to it next. Who have you been told you look like? It's In the Loop.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
The fellas are out today, so filling in, I'm Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee. And the question of the day, today here on In the Loop. Who have you been told you look like? Send in your answers, 713-572-4610 for the text line, 713-572-4610, or even on YouTube and Twitch. We'll get to those in a moment. But whenever I'm in this seat, at least, I try to be as interactive and as engaging as possible. So send those texts in. We'll get to them. We were talking last segment because we'll be asking a lot of questions today other than the question of the day, which we'll get to in a moment. And I asked, how should we truly judge this season for the Texans? All sorts of responses. 713 said, I had them going 10-7, so my expectations weren't off for this second-year team, but this offense has been putrid, which seems to be a good, that seems to be a common response. Guy Jean said, Texans didn't disappoint me, but their offense is boring. I can understand losing games, but at least be fun, which was echoed by Joseph that said something similar. Yeah, at least the offense should be interesting. 979 said it would take two playoff wins for them this season to be anything but a disappointment. I get that. You won a playoff game last year. You'd like to improve on that this year and at least win two.
But that's a tall order.
It is this
at this point.
It is.
That's a tall order.
It is. I think you could beat the Steelers in the first round if that's the matchup, but then you're either going to have to go to Kansas City most likely or Buffalo. That's tough. Also said the Texans need multiple upgrades across the offense. Not much will improve until that happens. Oh, sorry, that was Ocho. They're basically playing out the string. 832 said fire Slowick, get proven offensive coordinator. That's also a common refrain as well. 832 said don't dump a second-year quarterback with great potential. I agree. 281 said Stroud hit a sophomore slump. New offensive coordinator is a must, and then you can judge after year three. Not a bad opinion, right? If you put this all on Slowick this year, you get that mulligan for the Texans, and it's like, all right, if we make that change, let's see what truly happens next year. Because I think the sophomore slump is not only a thing with quarterbacks, but we see it a lot with the teams, where Brian Daboll, the Giants, had success year one, couldn't repeat it.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell, Vikings, success year one, stepped back last year, year three this year, competing for the number one seed. I know they had injuries last year, but the offense wasn't quite the same, and the Texans have had injuries this year. Colts, last year, exciting in year one. This year, they weren't quite as good. They were still competitive, competing for a playoff spot.
But where does it end? If you get rid of Bobby Slowick after a couple years, he had one good year, one down year. Whoever you bring in next year, say they have a good year, or say it doesn't work out next year, are you going to get rid of them right away? I mean, like where does it end? Like sometimes you got to kind of, you know, maybe take a third year and see what happens. I mean, because it's not like the first year wasn't spectacular. I think we would all say that the first year was pretty good with C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick. This year, not as much, but even still, they can still win 10 games.
Yeah.
With the bad year, I won't even call it a bad year. With the down year they've had compared to last season, CJ's rookie year, they can still win 10 games and potentially win a playoff game. So, like, you know, where does it stop? I just think we're so quick to get rid of guys nowadays as far as, you know, when it comes to coaching, coordinators, whatever it is. We're so quick to say, okay, 2 years, okay, one good year, one bad year, let's get rid of them.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like when you go to the casino and you walk in with, say, like $100 and you sit down at whichever game, roulette, and you get up to $500. And then you get back down, you end up leaving with the same $100 or maybe like $150, small profit. And instead of being like thankful or appreciative, like, hey, I made money, or at least I didn't lose money, it's like, man, I could have had $500. Where it's like the Texans had that good year last year, then the expectations increase, and you think, oh, maybe we could actually win a Super Bowl this year. But then you come back to that same result where we won 10 games again just like last year. And it could be a disappointment that you didn't improve. My whole thing is just, I think the rhetoric has swung too far to the extreme where it's like, this team is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this season could still be a disappointment if you repeat the same success as last year. But we still have to keep it real in that there's not many teams in the NFL winning the division in 10 games back-to-back year, especially with a young quarterback and first-year head coach.
And I mean, realistically speaking, who really looked at them as a Super Bowl contender this year? Good team, yes.
A lot of people did.
Really? Not in the AFC. Not yet. They're not there yet. I mean, I just think it's too soon. I don't think the expectations jumped that much. Just my opinion. I don't think the expectations should have been Super Bowl. Not yet. Not after one good season. I just, no.
Last things on the text line, 409 said this felt like a Bill O'Brien season. 832 said the Houston Texans are like a Public Enemy song. Don't believe the hype. I like that one.
A Bill O'Brien season?
Yeah. Hey, at least it's not a David Culley and Lovie Smith season.
Very true.
Question of the day. Who have you been told you look like? So we were here last night. Oh, we were filling goodness. In for Area 45 here till midnight. Hopefully you hung with us. And as we were leaving, there's a security guard in the lobby. We were walking. Our backs was to the security guard. And he said, hey, is that Sean Bajani? And I turned around and said, no, it's not. But don't worry.
I think he actually said John Bajani.
Did he? That makes it even worse.
Now, were you wearing the beanie?
No, because I know he wore the beanie when we actually worked together 2 days ago. I was wearing a black hat.
Yeah. The H-Town hat.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which I usually wear. Mixing it up today. But yeah. And I have to be honest with you. This is probably the first time. Well, I guess it didn't happen last night on air, but this is the first time I filled in a bunch, but this is probably the first time we've gone this long without somebody saying, like, oh, is this Bajani's brother? Or is this the guy from the night show, meaning Sean Bajani?
Bajani's bro.
Yeah. A lot of people also have said I looked like Tyler, T-Mel from The Drive.
So we got triplets. We got our own triplets up here at the station.
What you have is just three white guys with beards that wear hats, but, you know, we're all identical. So anyways, that led to the question of the day. Who have you been told you look like? Chris, you've been told you sound like Figgy Fig, I guess.
Yes, I'm his little brother now.
That's right. I've always been told I sound like Nick Casario as well from the text line. But in life, who have you been told you look like?
Well, you probably wouldn't think it now, but so in high school, people called me LL Cool J.
Oh.
I didn't have facial hair back then. And I could say, there was a picture I put up on Facebook years ago of me side by side with LL Cool J and me with like a little smirk on my face and him smiling.
Uh-huh.
You can see a little bit of, you know, there, you know, bald head, light skinned black guy. There you go.
Yeah.
With glasses. There you go. That was it. But yeah, that was who I got a lot back in the day was LL Cool J until I started growing a lot more facial hair and like nothing like him now.
That's not a bad thing.
Oh, I wasn't mad at it.
Ladies love Cool James.
Hey, I used it to my advantage.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, look at me. Yeah, I see it.
Ah, look at
he's holding up. You're holding up a photo on your phone.
Of course, he is.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I never would have thought about it, but now that you mention it,
I'm not mad at it. See, even more so when I take the hat off. I got a bald, round head.
Yeah.
I got a chrome dome. It's all good.
That's actually a good one. That's better than my poor man Joseph, who said Randy Jackson. I laughed in her face. Well, if it's Randy Jackson after the surgery, right? And that's not so bad.
Hey.
Colin, what about you? Who have you been told you look like throughout your life?
I've been told I look like Clay from 13 Reasons Why.
13 Reasons Why? I don't even know what that is.
I've literally gotten told that in high school, and I'm not joking. I've gotten told that, and I gotta say, I do look like him, but it would be darn near close if I had darker hair.
Oh, yeah, Dylan Minnette. I know him from the Scream films.
Yeah, I can't really remember the actor's name, but Clay from 13 Reasons Why, I apparently look like him.
I think he's considered a good-looking guy. That's probably a good thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole new perspective, Luke. Thank you. I'm going to start doing that.
I see it a little bit. A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I see it a little bit. You got that baby face going for you. It's all good, man.
Yeah.
Someone on the text line yesterday said I look like a teenager with a manly voice.
Yeah, I can see it.
Run with it, all right? Take it.
The kid that went through puberty much quicker than everybody else in high school.
Hit puberty at like 8 years old.
Yeah, like, sir, you're picking up your son? What are you doing here? You have such a deep voice. On the text line, David Ortiz when I was younger, Mark Henry now. Wasn't Mark Henry, he was Sexual Chocolate, right?
Yes, he was.
So that's not bad.
And then you got Big Poppy.
That's right.
You can't be mad at that.
That's pretty good.
Use that. You got to use these things to your advantage.
Yeah. That's from the 713. 361 said the main character from Dawson's Creek. Wasn't that James Vanderbeek, whatever his name was, right? Was that that guy? I never watched Dawson's Creek.
Me neither.
631 said, look like the actor Jeremy Renner. That's a good one.
Okay.
I think that does well. Somebody just said I look like a young Matthew Broderick.
Nice.
Thank you. I'll take it. Keep sending in those responses. 713-572-4610. We'll continue to get to them throughout the show. Who have you been told you look like? But when we come back, it's time to go around the NFL. It's In the Loop.